Hi, I'm Sam. Welcome to my podcast, Medical Musings with Sam. This is all about living with chronic illness and finding the best way possible to live a life of faith and hope despite our diseases. Chronic illness is a part of our lives. It doesn't need to be all of our lives. That's the hope I want to give you as I share my story of a life that was turned upside down due to the diagnosis of a rare bone disease in 2014. My life today resembles nothing of what it was before. I was an executive manager living in the rat race, and I love that role. Today, I'm still living a fulfilled life. Different, yes, but so rewarding. I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, and I help people through my online support forum, Medical Musings with Friends. And if life wasn't busy enough, I'm now a podcaster. So grab a cuppa, find a comfy chair, and together, let's find life can still be full of wonderful and special moments. Hi everyone, welcome back to Medical Musings with Sam. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to this episode. It's one that is very dear to my heart and one that's actually been requested by quite a few of my followers on Medical Musings with Friends, my Facebook group, and through my page as well. So I want to talk to you today about catering chronic illness style. There's a real sense where we often feel when we're disabled that we are not able to do any kind of catering in a way that brings us joy and perhaps has a little splash about it. And so we don't. But really, there are ways that we can still cater in a beautiful way, but it's simple and it's easy to do, and we don't have to let our disability get in the way of us doing that. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I want us to become more abled, even though we may be disabled in many regards. So yeah, let's have a chat about what we can do in terms of catering chronic illness style. So how many times have you really wanted to invite family or friends over for a coffee, but the thought of catering has just been too much? I get it. I absolutely get it. It is hard work and it can be daunting, particularly if we are thinking about how we used to do things as opposed to how we can now do things in an effective way that is simple but still delivers a wonderful experience for our guests and brings us joy because we've achieved something that we really wanted to do. Now, you might be comfortable allowing your guests to self-cater for you and simply by bringing in a cake or a savory treat and making the drinks when they arrive. And you know, that is a really wonderful option, and it's an option that I've had no choice but to use on quite a few occasions over the past 12 months as my disease has progressed. You know, many of you will remember from previous podcasts or reading my blog that last September I was hospitalized, unable to walk, sit, stand, and was bedridden for over 3 months. And I'm climbing back a little bit from that now, but still have major restrictions in terms of how I used to be and what my new normal is now. So yeah, I have had to pare back even the things that I used to do in terms of chronic illness catering. So the things that I'm going to share with you today are things that I can now do, but I have to be really careful about how I do them. So for the purposes of this podcast, I want us to focus on how to cater in a way everything looks like it has fallen out of a Home Beautiful magazine and you've been able to do it. And I know you're thinking, you're right, Sam, that's impossible. But you know, I get comments so often about how my home looks like it's come out of a Home Beautiful, or you know, the morning tea that I've put together just looks like it's from a magazine. And honestly, if you just knew how simple it was to create that and how much little effort, if you like, I have to put in, it's not without some consequences, but I think everything has consequences to it when you have a disability but you want to achieve something. And I think there's a sense where we need to accept that in order to be able to achieve anything. And we need to make sure, though, it's within a limit of how much we are able to endure in terms of the fallout of perhaps an increase in pain or the time needed to set aside for recovery afterwards. So I hope that makes sense, but there's some key things that you need to keep in the back of your mind with what I'm talking about today. So, you know, why bother? You might ask, why on earth is Sam even talking about this? And I think simply because many of us in the chronic illness community love to create. We love to enjoy special catered morning or afternoon teas or brunches or lunches. And we don't want our disease to take away this pleasure. Not prematurely anyway. We want to be able to still do all that we can while we can. And it comes back to what I always say about chronic illness is a part of our life. It's not all of our life. And we need to ensure that we keep within our lives now what we are still able to do so that we feel abled rather than disabled. Otherwise, that's all we're going to feel. Every time we think of doing something, we're just going to be confronted by our disability if we don't keep that hope alive that there are things that we can do, even though we might have to do them differently. So that's what I want us to keep in mind as well with everything that I'm talking about here. So how do we start? Where do we start if this is something that we really want to do for friends or family who are going to pop over? Well, I always like to start with setting a theme. Now, you might have a rough idea of what food you want to serve at this point, but I want us to park that thought for a moment. Because at first, we're going to focus on everything other than the food. And we're going to start with a few questions. And the first one is integral. How is your health at the moment? Should you even be considering having visitors? And if yes, keep listening. But if no, let's just pause here for a moment. There are times when our health is flaring so badly that, and I'm going to generalize here, most of us will probably feel like being on our own for a period of time while we get over that intensity of the flare. And, you know, I think that's pretty normal. I know so often, you know, friends or even the chronic illness sufferer themselves will say, you know, oh, it doesn't matter what I look like, or a friend will say, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like, you can be in your pajamas, I don't care if you haven't washed your hair, all of those things. And that's lovely. And thank you for saying those things and for making us feel like it doesn't matter. However, to the person who is unwell, you know what, it does matter. So much is taken from us when we have really complex chronic illness that there are things that we still kind of want to hold on to as much as possible. And I was going to say we want to hold on to our dignity. And to be quite honest, that's one of the things we generally lose first, because the amount of tests and prodding and poking and just, yeah, health in general where you can't move. I mean, I had to be bedbath for 3 months, you know. there's lots of things I really don't need to worry about anymore. But there still is that sense where if you can just have a moment to be alone to get over a period of time that's a tough one and then perhaps be able to be better presented if somebody's coming over, it does make a difference. We do care. So don't be afraid to ask yourself, should you even be considering having visitors? And if you really are not up to it, to just let anybody know who might be considering coming over or who you were inviting and perhaps you need to cancel on them. Let them know, just let them know that you're just not up to it at the moment, but you're going to postpone. You're not cancelling, you're simply postponing, and you can't wait to have them when you're feeling that you're going to be able to enjoy their company. But let's go back to thinking about the fact that you are okay in terms of having one or two guests. And that brings me to my next point of how many extra people can you cope with in your home at the same time? I suggest two or three maximum. We are all different, but I just find if there's more than two guests, maybe three, and then there's you and then maybe your partner, or maybe you have a couple of carers that have to be there as well, it can start to become quite crowded. I get the most joy when I just have, say, one friend pop round, or a couple visit who are good friends with my husband and I, for example. And it's just joyous and, friends that you can relax with and laugh with, and just time just flies and you end up being much sorer and much more in need of a recovery days because you've done too much because you were just so enjoying your time with them. You know, that's lovely. They're moments that you don't mind having to recover because you're just living off the joy of that visit for those days while you're recovering. So have a think about that. How many people, family or friends that you think that you can have? And as I said, I suggest two or three max. Also have a think about, can you physically serve food? Can you make a cup of tea or coffee for others? Depending on those questions, your answers to those questions, you then need to think about, do you need a carer present, or can your partner help you, or can you ask one of your friends who are coming over, ask them in advance, can they be your legs during the morning or afternoon tea? Now, that's a little different to a friend bringing everything over for you, because in this scenario, I'm still talking about the fact that you would have laid everything out and had everything looking like it's just come out of that Home Beautiful magazine, but you're not actually able to, make the drinks, carry them over, that kind of thing. Now, that's my scenario. I can't do that. I can actually pull off putting things together in terms of a presentation, because I can do that when nobody's here. I can pace it, and I can just be in the kitchen or toddle over to my dining room with my walker and have able to hold on to things, etc. But making drinks and carrying them over to people and serving food or passing plates around, all of those things, that's just way out of my reach. So I know my limits, and you need to work out yours. And then you need to also work out, do you want to serve a brunch or a lunch instead of just a morning or afternoon tea? And the reason why I want to talk about that is because if my guests have a travel distance of over 30 minutes to visit me, I like to give them something a little bit more substantial than just a morning or afternoon tea. They've taken the time to travel, and I feel like I need to take the time to thank them for that through caring for them when they arrive. So that's my way of doing that. But it still doesn't have to be complex, and I'll talk to you about that when we get to the food part of this podcast. So once you've decided that you're feeling able to have a few guests, it's time to take the next steps, and we're going to set the catering scene and the theme. So again, not talking about food at this point. I'm talking about the plates and the cups and the serviettes and the flowers and whatever it might be that you want to create. So for me, I always like to create a sort of a high tea, I guess, kind of environment. It suits my home. It suits my personality, and everybody knows to expect that from me anyway, because that's who I am. But that's not necessarily you. I mean, you might like a real modern, edgy kind of theme, and just choose whatever it is that suits you. So the most important thing, though, before you even start, is think about pacing. So with my disabilities, keeping everything simple and pacing is key. So that means I lay out as much as possible the day before, or even 2 days before if I can. So that takes planning. So that means generally I don't have people just dropping over. And if people want to visit, I generally need to have 2 days notice, because that allows me to look at my calendar and work out if I can move other things so that I have 2 days to just pretty much give over to getting ready for my friends or my family to visit me because that's important to me. So really, really important place to start is to think about keeping things simple, but think about pacing and what that means to you, and then therefore how do you need to plan visits with people coming over. That aside, then I decide on the color theme. And that means what cups, what plates, what cake stands, and what serviettes I'm going to use, as I said before. Now, I always have a pretty paper serviette collection on hand to match the mugs and the plates that I have. And now, I take a fair few photos that go on Instagram, obviously, as we all do nowadays. And many people sort of talk about my china and how lovely it looks. And I do have some beautiful Devonshire cottage pieces from Royal Doulton, which are the blue and white. And I love Johnson Brothers. And, you know, I have collected that over the years, though. So I have never been able to just afford to just buy those. But when I was working, I used to just buy bits and pieces and build my sets up. So I'm really fortunate that I do have some really beautiful pieces. However, I also love buying just some eclectic pieces as well. So I'll often buy, even online, and Maxwell Williams are quite good and their prices are quite reasonable. Different sorts of, like, same style mugs, but different patterns can look really, really lovely. But also Prices Plus or Reject Shops. Or I know in other countries, they're called dollar shops or pound shops in the UK. You can find mugs and plates that can look amazing if you take them out of the shop and put them in your own setting at home and mix them with, different napkins or serviettes or however you want to do it, or tablecloths or placemats, and it can just really pop and look amazing, and you've hardly spent a cent. And I also say to people, just go shopping in your cupboard. You know, you'll be surprised if you open a kitchen cupboard or a linen cupboard, how many things are in there that you'd forgotten you had and you may not have used for years, but you bring them out, you give them a good wash and you put them down next to something else you've got and you just go, oh my goodness, that really works. The other thing that always works is anything white. If you just have everything white and then you add color with your food or with your serviettes, or perhaps even just have a couple of colored plates amongst the white, it can just look really, really amazing. So yeah, just have a think about your theme. What's your color theme? What do you want to do? Do you want it to be eclectic? It can create such a whimsical and welcoming theme. Or do you want it to be all matching and just have that kind of, wow, that looks amazing as well. And then, as I said, you know, I always have pretty paper serviettes on hand and to match all my crockery. And I buy these mostly on eBay as they're about 70% cheaper than what you would get in a gift store. You know, where you get those, you know, 20 serviettes in a packet, and they can be, you know, $10, $15, up to $20. I've been able to source them through eBay for, and I'm talking Australian dollars here for my global listeners, about $3.50 Australian dollars, and they're beautiful and exactly the same make as what I would have got had I gone to some of the nicer gift stores that I might have visited in the past, or when I was able to get out a bit more. So have a think about that too. Just have a bit of a look around. But having things in your cupboard ready to go is really great when it comes to pacing, and you know you've only got 2 days before people are coming. It means you don't have to run around and think about all of those things. So the other thing that I then decide is if I'm going to use my dining table to set the scene, or if I'm going to take a more casual approach and set up on my kitchen bench. Now, my home is open plan, and a lot of homes nowadays are, which means my lounge backs onto my kitchen and my dining room backs onto the other part of the kitchen. So it's an L-shaped kind of situation, and which is great for entertaining. And it means it doesn't matter where I set up. In that sense, if I want a more casual sort of look, then I can set up on my kitchen bench, which has a mock kind of marble look to it, which is really lovely anyway, and makes everything look beautiful. You just need to make sure your kitchen is clean, and you need to make sure your sink is clean, and just keep it all nice and neat and washed over, and your kitchen can be amazing for a servery kind of situation. And then the dining table, as I said, is also another great place just to lay everything out as well. And I always lay things out in a smorgasbord or buffet kind of situation so that people can go and help themselves in terms of serving themselves with food. And everybody's happy to do that. And probably with COVID and things nowadays, it's not a bad way of doing it rather than, having to walk around and serve people. And you can lay your food out in a way that it's a bit more hygienic maybe as well. And so everybody picks up their own individual plates to put their food on, etc. So that's how I do that. Also, a bunch of flowers always helps to make a morning tea spread or whatever it is that you're doing. Put the flowers on the table or the bench. It just brightens everything up. Now, I'm going for a high tea kind of look, and flowers go very, very well with that. But flowers go with everything, really. Let's face it. I mean, whether you're having a garden theme and that's the other place you might like to set up as well, is if you've got a lovely outdoor setting area. We've got a lovely patio area, literally just off the dining room, and that is another place in nice weather when the sun's not blaring, and that where I can set up as well, and that's beautiful. So, you might want to be less sort of high tea and more casual garden kind of theme. So, yeah, that's just another idea. But having a vase of pretty flowers, and I'm going to add in the word pretty artificial flowers, always available. If you have them always available, it makes it a really easy to do task. And I can hear some people listening to me going, Sam, really? Artificial flowers? We love real flowers. And you know what? So do I. And I have real flowers in the garden. I absolutely adore them. But real flowers inside the house just give me terrible, terrible hay fever. And the headache, I can't even describe, is just not worth it. I wouldn't even be able to see my guests. So artificial flowers are all throughout my home. And I just love them, and I love them because nowadays you can get the most beautiful silk flowers that just look so real, you just wouldn't know that they were artificial. So play around with it. There are many stores online where you can order flowers, and you can just order a very small sample if you want to see what they're like and how they work for you. I have pictures of all of this on my blog. If you go to www.mymedmusings.com, you'll actually see a blog post on this catering chronic illness style. And I've actually got photos on there of some of the things that I have done in terms of setting up on the kitchen bench or on my table or for birthdays or whatever. I've got some on Instagram as well. So go to my Instagram account as well, which is My Medical Musings too. And you can have a look at some pictures on there as well. The other thing to think about as well is what you're going to serve your food with. Just some really little simple cake spoons or serving forks can just make the difference between something looking kind of drab to something looking, again, quite wow. I have some beautiful little gold forks, little cake forks, which were given to me as a gift, and just putting them on gold plated, but they look really, really beautiful and can just take a table from looking nice to looking wow. And I have some others that just have little floral handles on them, and the cake forks and the cake spoons or the teaspoons for tea and coffee, etc., all kind of match as well. So they're just some other little things that you can think about that you can pick up quite cheaply again and just have in your cupboard so that you've got them there if you just want to pull them out to pull something together to make it just a little bit special. So having talked about setting the scene and you're putting your theme together and laying it out and deciding where you want to lay it out, it's now time to talk food, because let's face it, that's important as well, probably more so. So what's on the menu? And remember that I'm talking in regards for those of us who can barely stand, let alone spend time baking and cooking in the kitchen. So I have rules for food for the day, and they could not be more easy. The first rule is keep it all simple. Absolutely no cooking. I just can't do it. I want to. I love cooking, but I cannot do it. So what does that mean? Well, there's a few things that are permitted. There's lots that aren't, obviously. So sandwiches are permitted to make ahead of time if you're able to do it, because it's not cooking. It's just preparing, really. And you can make them, you know, high tea kind of style, or, you know, with the crusts cut off and cut into either little triangles or little rectangles. But basically, what I mean in terms of the no cooking is you've got to pre-plan your purchased menu. So you're going to be buying things. So you need to, and I also understand that that's costly, and hey, I'm on a disability pension. It is really important to me to make sure that everything is within my budget. So if I'm going to do something like this, it literally is incorporated within my weekly or my fortnightly food shop, and I use things that I would normally have. So I'm not buying, you know, excessive things or breaking the budget. So as I said, pre-buy your culinary treats as part of your regular online grocery shop, if that's the way you do it. It's the way I have to do grocery shopping, even though obviously my husband is my carer. He has quite severe arthritis, and he finds it hard to lift a lot of things and push heavy trolleys as well. So online shopping for us is the way to go. And if I pre-plan and I know what I'm wanting to do, and I know who's coming, then I can ensure that I have those items in my grocery shop delivered. But if the food delivery doesn't work out, you know how sometimes if you haven't substituted or they just don't have it on stock what you want at all, which doesn't happen a lot, but it can happen. If you have a partner or a carer or a friend or neighbour who helps you out, if you just send them to the shops, if they don't mind, just to go and pick up a few last minute things, then that's an option to just keep at the back of your head. And again, that's all part of your planning and your contingency plans when you're wanting to do something a little bit special. But let's talk menu. So what's on my menu? Well, I generally stick to my guests' favourites, and having done this for a little while, I've kind of worked out what works and what doesn't. Plus, I ensure that there are a few things that I can eat. A lot of us with chronic illness have very specific dietary needs, and there's a lot of things we can't eat, but we don't want to miss out, and we also don't want to look like we're being that much different either. So I try and think of things that are very close to what I'm serving up for other people, or perhaps even create a menu around that, which I know is still going to be tasty and very acceptable for others to eat as well. So my regular sample menu, and I have this on my blog. So as I said, the blog post is called Catering Chronic Illness Style. So go and have a look at that if you want to actually see the sample menu, because you can print it out as well, or save it to Pinterest or whatever it is that you might like to do. But basically, this is my sample menu. It changes a little bit, but I have a savory, sweet, and a drinks component to my menu when I do a morning or afternoon tea. And it incorporates, in the savory, a cheese board with three or four cheeses, and I usually choose Camembert, Gouda, Stilton, a Brie, and then I have but you can choose, you know, obviously whatever you want. Then I have crackers, obviously for people to have with their cheese. I'll have a baguette or a French stick, because some people prefer bread rather than crackers, and then I will have a selection of cold meats, pickles, olives, and dips if I'm serving lunch. So that's where I step it up a level. So for morning tea, I probably wouldn't do the cold meat or the pickles and the dips. I would just stick to the cheese board and the baguettes or French stick for the savory component. And then for the sweet component, which is the same, whether it be a lunch or a morning tea. I have a small chocolate mud cake or cupcakes, individual cupcakes. Have a selection of biscuits, nice biscuits. And I also like to cut up protein bars. So protein bars come in all kinds of ranges nowadays, you know, quite nutty with yogurt and cranberry and dark chocolate and or white chocolate, all kinds of stuff. But they're healthy, and they're if you cut them up into little squares, they look amazing. They're like really fancy biscuits. So that's just quite a cheap way of creating something that looks amazing on a plate and also tastes pretty amazing too, and is usually very popular with my guests. And then I just have a very simple drinks menu. So tea or coffee, orange juice or water. And if we're having lunch or dinner, but usually I wouldn't go for a dinner because it's a bit harder, but lunch, we'll serve wine because my husband drinks wine. I don't drink, but it's here so people can have a glass of wine. And if we know that somebody's coming who really loves beer, for example, then Peter will ensure that there's some beer in the fridge as well. So this pre-bought food requires really little preparation, and aside from laying it out nicely on the table or the kitchen bench, and most of it can be done, you know, the night before, the stuff that needs to be stored in the fridge can be on the plates with Glad wrap over it in the fridge ready just to be brought out. But otherwise, it can all just sit out on the table with Glad wrap over it before the guests arrive, and I can do that the day before. Glad wrap is cling wrap. Glad wrap's a brand, sorry. Cling wrap, for those of you, yeah, that live elsewhere. So once you've done that, though, you can really sit back and relax until your guests arrive. You know, you've got time to get to plan your day for getting up and getting dressed. And as we all know, with a disability, that's not just something that you can just do at the snap of a finger. It takes time. You know, I have lots to manage in order to be able to be presentable. So, yeah, take time. Make sure you build all of that into it as well. And the stress really should be out of it because you've got everything organized and you've got it. And it wasn't hard. It really wasn't hard to pull together, but it looks great. I always love setting it up the day before, and then I wake up in the morning and I just look out onto either the kitchen bench or the dining table and just go, oh, wow, that's all done. That looks so good. And I really don't have to worry. And I can just go about my normal morning routine and I'll be right for when my guests arrive. So, you know, there's many options. Approaching chronic illness catering in this way is doable for many members in the disabled community. Your menu might have different items to mine, but make sure you have minimal to no preparation. That's the key. And, you know, no matter what food choice you're choosing, think about how much effort is this going to cause me. If it's causing you too much, it shouldn't be on the menu. Okay. There are so many lovely food options from your local supermarkets nowadays that are already made that you can just pick up and you're ready to go. A few simple, good quality pre-made dishes are always going to look amazing with a well thought out catering layout. And it's no matter, as I said, if you use your kitchen bench or your dining table to display it all, it will look great. By laying out the food on pretty plates, having your utensils all nicely laid out, serviettes, and then empty plates available for guests to use to self-serve, you don't need to worry about anything once they arrive, apart from putting that kettle on. And a friend will generally offer to make the drinks, and it's okay to say, yeah, thank you so much, I'd love for you to do that. And they will feel like they're really contributing to the gathering as well, and that they're caring for you and looking after you. So your guests can help themselves throughout the visit, and then they can go back for seconds or thirds. Mine always do. There can be a better, you know, there can't be a better sign, really, can there, if guests are going back for seconds and thirds, that all is well with them and that they're enjoying themselves. So at the end of the day, just remember your guests want to see you. They know the effort having them visit you is going to be for you. They understand that. And the fact that you've even managed to be upright for long brings them delight and happiness. So don't be so hard on yourself. You've got this, and I have no doubt that your chronic illness catering will be impressive but elegant, and your guests will be completely satisfied, and it would have been simple for you to do. So create a simple experience for you that is within your capabilities. And it really, honestly, comes down to presentation to a large degree and just pacing yourself. And just, you know, enjoying the fact that you can be abled despite being disabled. And it's an amazing feeling to just know how crippled you might be or how sick you might be, or and yet you're looking at something that you've created and you're going to yourself, oh my goodness, I still have something of that left in me. there's something of the old me there still. And it's really quite uplifting and well worth doing. So for me, you know, it is doing these sort of things that brings me great joy. And I know it's different things for different people. But as I said, you know, many people have been asking me about catering and how do I do it, because they want to do it. And they've just felt that it was outside of their reach. And I just wanted to let you know that it's not. It can be done and it can look amazing. And it can look more amazing without having the effort that it perhaps looks like it's taken, if that makes sense. So give it a go. And you know what? Practice. The other thing is, another good way of doing this or starting it off is just doing it for you and your partner, or you and your best friend, or whatever, where it doesn't kind of matter. Just practice. And if you're having a reasonable day, just think, you know what? I'm just going to put a table setting together and see if I can do it, and see what I think and what I can create, and just have some fun. And I think sometimes we get caught up with it all being so serious, with all our medical appointments and with our pain levels and with our worry about our health, and all of that is really normal and will always be there. But we need times where we let that slip a little bit away for an afternoon or whatever, and we just focus on the simple things in life that bring us joy, and the things that we look at that just make us smile and give us a sense of achievement. And we just go, wow, I'm still able. I'm still able on many levels to do things that I thought perhaps were out of my reach. So happy catering, everybody. I would love to see photos of anything that you might have achieved. So, you can share those with me on my Facebook page, My Medical Musings. That's the public one. And you're always welcome to join Medical Musings with Friends, which is the private Facebook group for anybody with chronic illness. And we have a lot of fun on there sharing all our catering ideas, or even all our arts and crafts ideas, because many of my members are just so talented with their arts and crafts and really make an effort to try and keep that going despite their own disabilities. So it's an amazing place, as I said, to share all of those great joys that you still want to hang on to and are still enjoying, despite chronic illness. Because remember, chronic illness is a part of our life. It's not all of our life. So happy catering, happy crafting, happy whatever it is that you do that is outside of chronic illness. And I really look forward to talking to you all next time in our next episode of Medical Musings with Sam. Take care, everybody, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of My Medical Musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone, something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone, because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.